searing images are in the news this week. An American captive beheaded in Iraq. More evidence of Iraqi prisoners being abused by American soldiers. All of this, inevitably, is having an impact on the presidential campaigns. And for more on that, we're joined by our regular political analysts, E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and Brookings Institution, and David Brooks of the New York Times. Hello again.
Hello.
President Bush is out campaigning this week on No Child Left Behind, John Kerry campaigning on health care, both issues that voters always say they care about. Are those messages getting swamped by everything that's going on this week, EJ?
I think the answer is yes. I think the most striking thing that's happened is that there seems to be a fundamental loss of confidence in the president, and particularly in his handling of foreign policy. One would have thought that with the economic numbers getting better, he'd be going up in the polls. But the most recent surveys, including the Pew survey, show that his disapproval rating is as high as it's ever been. It's up 13 points since January. And I think it's not ideological. It's really a question of competence. And what's striking is how much ground the president has lost among independents who have no particular use for Saddam, do not have an ideological view of foreign policy, but are looking at the news and saying, what is going on over there and why aren't these guys doing better?
David Brooks, the numbers don't seem too cheery for John Kerry either. It seems like this campaign is seeking its own bottom in a sense. How do you interpret that?
Right. Bush has taken these body blows, but the bad news for Bush has so far not been good news for Kerry. And Kerry's position is very interesting. I think at some level, the heart and soul of the Democratic Party really is much more anti-war than Kerry is. Kerry says stay the course. There's really very little difference between Kerry and Bush on how to move forward on Iraq. And the interesting question is, if things go badly for another several months, does John Kerry face pressure to go where Ralph Nader is, which is to say, let's pull out? And I think that pressure will build if Nader support grows.
There's also a tricky issue, it seems, for John Kerry here about these photographs from Abu Ghraib. This came up yesterday at the hearing before the Senate Armed Services Committee. Senator James Inhofe, the Republican from Oklahoma, said he was outraged by an email he'd seen from the John Kerry campaign. The email's a petition for Donald Rumsfeld to resign because of failures in Iraq, but it specifically mentions Abu Ghraib and the photographs from there. And then at the bottom, there's a button to click. It says donate now. And this is something that Senator Inhofe said he couldn't recall ever having happened before in history. Is this an untouchable issue, do you think, EJ?
Well, I think there's a no-win situation here for Kerry, because on the one hand, if he says anything, the Republicans are going to attack him. On the other hand, I read a news story a couple of days ago criticizing Kerry for not jumping on this quicker. I think what really matters is that this is bad news for the administration and that Kerry can say a few things about it and not a whole lot more.
David Brooks, is this question of accountability and chain of command, is this going to reverberate, do you think, significantly throughout the campaign?
Well, I think Iraq will swamp all other issues. If things are going this way 6 months from now, I think the president will be in real trouble. On the other hand, there is some good news coming out of Iraq, which may portend in the long term some positive developments. It's clear the Shiites have gotten sick of Muqtada al-Sadr, and they want to get rid of that kind of insurgency. Things in Fallujah have calmed down. If that's the beginning of a new calm in Iraq, a fundamental calm, which is not pro-American, but is fundamentally a return to some sort of normalcy, then the situation will mollify. I think the fundamental fact is that the ebb and flow of the political campaign right now is just noise. The reality in Iraq will come true over the next 6 months. And if that reality is good, it's out of Bush's hands, largely, but it'll redound to his benefit.
You wrote about that in the New York Times this week in your column, and you said this: for us to succeed in Iraq, we have to lose. Walk us through your argument there.
Yeah, my argument is that the Iraqis need to win their own freedom. They need to win something. They need to win some victories. And so my argument was, we have to move up the elections so they can be seen campaigning against America, campaigning for their independence against the American occupation. That will give them a sense of national pride. Voting and democracy and the whole democratic process is the one thing Iraq needs to make it a normal, healthy country moving in the right direction.
E.J. Dionne, is that workable, do you think? Is it enough?
I think it's awfully hard to set up an election in which the U.S. is the primary force and somehow we're setting it up to lose. I think it's very hard to kind of indirectly sort of support forces who are running against you. What I do think is happening, though, is both on the left and the right in Washington, there does seem to be a rise in this idea, in support for the idea of snap elections, that somehow or other the United States has to begin, not in a symbolic way, on June 30th to transfer sovereignty, but to create a real sense of responsibility and power on the part of Iraqis. And if I were to make a bet, I would bet that this idea of speeding up elections will eventually make its way through to the administration.
And I think we'll leave it there. Thanks to you both, E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and Brookings Institution, and David Brooks of the New York Times.
Thank you.